Thanks for joining us on the JX today. We'll take up the hot forestry topic of the moment. It concerns federal forests, as most hot forestry topics do. The Federal Bureau of Land Management and its work are at the center. First, let's get a grip on what we're talking about. We don't have a rep from the BLM here, but we have BLM's written words about IVM, Integrated Vegetation Management. And it goes like this. Fire exclusion and other land management practices have created overly dense forests susceptible to loss from change agents such as climate change, drought, wildfire, insects, and disease. The BLM Medford District is tackling this issue head-on with the Integrated Vegetation Management for Resilient Lands Environmental Assessment, IVMRLEA. The IVMRLEA creates a toolbox for the BLM to increase the scope, scale, and pace of fuels treatments and vegetation management projects. This will allow the BLM to improve the health of forests, create safe and effective places for firefighters to engage, and address climate change. This work will encourage healthier forests that are more resilient to wildfire and drought, protect adjacent communities from large-scale wildland fires, and improve habitat for special status wildlife and plants, close quote. You'll hear it later from a timber industry group that supports the IVM, Integrated Vegetation Management Plan process, and right now from a conservation group that opposes what has emerged. George Sexton is Conservation Director at the Klamath Siskiyou Wildlands Center, KS Wild. George, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this broadly first. I mean, do you have any issues with the overall objectives of IVM?
Well, I think that the BLM has done a good job of identifying the problem. We're all in agreement that the combination of fire exclusion, past logging, and climate change has dramatically altered our forests. And so the question is, what can we do to improve forest resiliency and forest health in Southwest Oregon?
And so what do you find lacking in the BLM's approach?
Well, we have two timber sales that the BLM has released preliminarily under their IVM program, and that's the Late Mungers timber sale and the Penn Butte timber sale. Those are both located in the Williams Late Successional Reserve. It's an easy spot to get to, and when you drive to it, you have to drive through thousands of acres of timber plantations that are dense, young Douglas fir stands that are likely to succumb to drought or to fire. And then when you get to the proposed logging units, they are higher elevation, late successional stands that the BLM would like to log pretty heavily. And two of the logging prescriptions that they want to use are called open serral and gap creation. Neither of those are actually thinning techniques. They're techniques that completely remove the stand that's being logged and replace it with dense young trees that will, again, not be resilient.
All right. So as I look at the check the numbers on me with me on this, the project, harvest at the two timber sales, Late Mungers and Penn Butte, 830 acres?
Correct.
Uh-huh. And what kind of board footage are we talking about? I mean, this is a commercial component, right?
Yeah, it is. They are both commercial timber sales. And because they're in the late successional reserve land use allocation, which is supposed to be managed for old growth habitat, the BLM is measuring their logging by acres rather than by how much it contributes to the timber volume.
All right. So no board footage announced, you're saying?
Well, I mean, the timber sale prospectuses will have, timber volume associated with it. But that's not what's being analyzed.
We're talking to George Sexton here of the Jefferson Exchange, the conservation director of the Klamath Siskiyou Wildlands Center, about the Bureau of Land Management and the Integrated Vegetation Management Plan, IVM, underway in the Medford District, and protests against that, including protests last week that we'll talk about in just a moment. We'll be talking to George first, timber industry second. We can take your emails at jx@jeffnet.org. We can really kind of get lost in some of the stuff here, but I do want to make sure we talk about late serral and late successional. We're talking about the idea being to get these areas time and space to grow so that they become old growth, right?
Well, that's what you would hope for. Unfortunately, the stands that the BLM has targeted for logging in Late Mungers are already old growth late successional forests, and they're fire resilient. And the logging prescription that the BLM would implement would remove the forest canopy such that those forests would no longer serve as late successional old growth habitat. That's why when the BLM did their biological assessment and biological opinion, they determined that the logging would remove late successional forests as opposed to even just downgrading it. So it's what they call likely to adversely affect both spotted owls in their habitat and late successional forests in general. And that's the real heart of the issue here, is whether or not the BLM is willing and capable to manage any acres for old growth habitat. Because if they refuse to manage the late successional reserves for old growth habitat, then there's simply no acreage anywhere that the BLM is going to manage for late successional forests. The other primary land use allocation that they have is called the harvest land base. And oddly enough, the logging prescriptions of late mongers are exactly identical to the logging prescriptions that the BLM proposes in the harvest land base. But the harvest land base is not included in the integrated vegetation management project. There, the BLM in the harvest land base is just focused on timber volume production. So if the BLM were really interested in integrated vegetation management in an all lands approach, the first thing that they would do would be to work with communities to thin the existing timber plantations near to homes and communities, regardless of whether those were in the harvest land base or the late successional reserves. Instead, what they're doing is targeting late successional reserves that are already old growth habitat in the backcountry for logging.
So these two areas proposed for logging, Late Mongers and Penn Butte, again, the names of the sales, 830 acres of proposed harvest in the Williams area. Are these part of the overstocked stuff that BLM refers to in the stuff I read at the beginning from the introduction to the IVM process and plan?
The stands have been somewhat impacted by both climate change and fire exclusion, but they are far from the most dense stands that the BLM has. The stands that are far denser are those stands that they previously logged. That's where they should be focusing their work. That's where it could do the most good from a fire management standpoint and where it would do the least harm from a wildlife standpoint.
So are you saying there are lands nearby, George, that could have been easily logged? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how far you need to twist the focus to see a place where you would see the logging as more acceptable anyway.
Oh, definitely. Again, to drive to the Late Mongers timber sale from the community of Williams, you have to go through thousands of acres of dense young timber plantations to get there. And that's how the timber industry has been managing their lands. That's how the Bureau of Land Management has been managing their lands. And so it's disingenuous for the agency to say, we're going to log the old growth forest in the back country, and that's what's going to do the best thing for forest health. Let's start with those dense young timber plantations that are in the wildland urban interface, where you're really going to have fire rip through those if and those stands are not resilient to fire because the dense young trees are so close together, the canopies are close to the ground. If you go up to Late Mongers, it's primarily big old trees.
We're talking to George Sexton, the conservation director of the Klamath Siskiyou Wildlands Center, KS Wild, for half of our analysis of what's going on with the Bureau of Land Management Integrated Vegetation Management Plan, or IVM, for the Medford District, which involves, as you're hearing, two timber sales, Late Mongers and Penn Butte in the Williams area. We'll talk to a timber industry group in the next segment. You can join the conversation with your emails now to jx@jeffnet.org. A couple of things I want to pick up on, too. I noticed that the process was done, the whole National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA stuff, gets into a whole bunch of other acronyms, but I noticed that one of them is not in use here, and that's EIS. This was not an environmental impact statement process, but got instead to the shorter and quicker EA, or environmental assessment. Is there any issue with you there?
Well, it's not just an environmental assessment. What they do is they have what's called a determination of NEPA adequacy. the DNA, if you really want to get into the acronyms.
Oh, and Fonzie after that, sure. But
right. And unfortunately, those determinations of NEPA adequacy are just a checklist. And so the normal opportunities for public engagement and public comment didn't happen here. It's kind of a rush job where the BLM, you know, they say they're trying to accelerate, you know, forest health treatments, but what they're really doing is accelerating late successional reserve logging. And that comes out of a provision in their 2016 resource management plan where the BLM did two things. They assigned themselves a 17,000 acre late successional reserve target, which is kind of an arbitrary number that they just picked out of the sky. And then they also assigned themselves a timber volume target. And so how the BLM measures success is whether or not they meet those two arbitrary targets that they set for themselves. Neither of those is a measure of forest health or fire resiliency. And so the acceleration of the late successional reserve logging is meant to meet that LSR logging target that the BLM established for itself.
Back to the public input part of this, I mean, BLM claims in a news release that it provided more than or got more than 100 comments, took comments, hosted a field trip, held a public webinar to obtain input. Do you think there should have been more?
It's not the amount of public input that occurred that's the problem. It's that many people, particularly the Williams community, provided timely site-specific comments with specific concerns. I'll give you one example. There's a proposed road that goes through some of the best, oldest old growth in the area that would need to be removed for a temporary road that the BLM wants to build. The BLM got lots of comments on that, and it's site-specific. It's saying, hey, this road is a problem. You know, can we figure out another way of accessing the stand? And the BLM's response is always no. And so the BLM goes through a process of, okay, we'll have a public meeting, we'll have a public field tour, but none of the suggestions, requests, or sideboards that the public proposes make it into project and design. It's the BLM's my way or the highway approach. So they're more than willing to have a lot of meetings to tell you why they're going to ignore your comments, but the comments that people submit don't actually implement how the BLM implements public lands management.
So last week, April 2nd, a demonstration outside the federal courthouse in downtown Medford and a hearing inside. What happened inside that prompted the action outside?
Well, finally, the public got their day in court. And I think that it was a rally in support of retaining old growth forests rather than removing them in the late successional reserves. And one of the things that really struck me was Federal Judge Clark asking the BLM why they aren't managing late successional reserves for late successional habitat and why the BLM wants to remove existing late successional habitat from the reserves. And to my ears, the BLM didn't have a very convincing answer to that question.
So is this part of a lawsuit? I mean, what happens now? Where do things go after this hearing in front of Judge Mark Clark?
Yeah, he'll issue a ruling on whether or not the late successional reserves mean what they say, whether or not there is such a thing as a reserve for BLM lands, and whether or not we're going to have any old growth reserves moving forward. I would anticipate that he's probably going to find that late successional reserves mean what they say, that they're reserves for late successional habitat, and the BLM needs to manage them as such. My hope is that once that occurs, the BLM will actually meet with stakeholders and community members and say, what can we do for forest resiliency and fire management that has a focus on real solutions rather than just chasing old growth around in the backcountry.
What's the timeline on the judge's decision versus the timeline on the timber sales?
The BLM wants to auction the timber sales on April 25th. They're unwilling to hold off until we get a court ruling. So, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty on that. The BLM says that they might start rushing the logging as early as May, and we don't know when the court is going to rule.
All right. Much more to come, and particularly on this issue today here on The Exchange as we talk about the Integrated Vegetation Management, or IVM, plans of the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, in the Medford District. George Sexton is explaining what the issues the conservation community has with the IVM. George is the conservation director at the Klamath Siskiyou Wildland Center, KS Wild. George, thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
I appreciate it. Okay. Thank you.